Oh, okay. Well, welcome to the shrine where all is welcome, including silliness and badness. And goodness and seriousness and sadness and just like in that Rumi poem. So really bring all your guests with you as you enter the shrine, all your inner guests. There's plenty of space here and plenty of dark corners for the darker guests. They can go crawl in the corners of the shrine. There's even a cellar if any of the guests might like to descend and have some decadent party down there, that's fine. And there's also high places where the lofty guests may go preside. There's lots and lots of space. And there's no real law, but because the shrine is a shrine, it's there's an invisible law, and it's a love of kind, a law of kindness. It's the invisible law of kindness and welcoming. Therefore, there's no conflict. I mean, I don't like to say there's no conflict. There might be a conflictual guest, but there's no conflict with any of the guests. And of course, the guests include our moment by moment experience, like the sensations of the body. Each little pulsation is a guest, each little contraction. Each thought. Each chain of thought. I mean, it's a crowded place, this shrine. And yet there's infinite space and kindness. Even curiosity, infinite curiosity. For what or who appears next. And some of the guests, some of the experiences, dissolve, they disappear, they leave the shrine or they merge with the shrine. Simply because they've been welcomed so well. They disappear. It's pure welcoming. Pure welcoming has got a magic capacity to absorb experience, completely take it in. Other guests linger for a long time. Because they enjoy it. They like to linger. They like to expand and discover themselves in a safe place. At some point, each guest discovers that it shares something very essential with every other guest. And with the host. Which is very relaxing because, as I said, it's essential what is shared, fundamental. It's more than shared, it's the same. Then when that begins to dawn, that knowledge, that recognition of our shared essence, our shared being, our shared reality, whatever the word. Something settles. That's what becomes more interesting rather than the diversity of the guests. It's like we settle more deeply. In our essence, which we know is shared, we settle more deeply in each other. In ourselves. And the experiences, the guests continue to come and go and do whatever they do. Sound of Ellen's voice as a guest. The sound of the birds outside, at least where I am. But we're drawn more deeply into the beingness itself. Feel yourself drawn deeply into your beingness, your very simple feeling of being. And I say feeling knowingly, it's not a thought, it's more a feeling of being. And in fact, I want to say it's more a body-based feeling, even though we know ultimately that our deep nature, our true nature is not located and nevertheless, as a stepping stone to the vibrational reality that we are, that is borderless, as a stepping stone, we have the body, the feeling. And I'm going to be even more precise. Feel your base, feel your pelvis, your lower abdomen. Feel that as the base of your being, the base of your presence. Just settle there with your tactile sense. Feeling the weight of your hips, of your pelvis, of your thighs. Surrendering so that you can settle comfortably there. Letting your hands, wherever they rest, really rest. So surrendering the weight of your arms into your hands just a sensation of temperature penetrating. And then just the coming and the going of the breath in your pelvis. And when I say pelvis, it's so mechanical, but I really mean something sacred, where the sacrum is, the root, the mysterious feeling of a root. Feeling the breath, the in-breath, let it caress the sacrum and expand the muscles of the abdomen. And with the out-breath, it's a gathering right at the center of this inner shrine. In breath, feeling, feeling, no thinking. We've left the headquarters. Out breath. Slowing down and tasting the in and the out of the breath like a wave. Dwelling in the lower part of the abdomen. Very simple feeling there. And to begin with, there may be resistance and agitation that wants to draw you back up to where we, as a culture, tend to reside quite a lot, which is obviously in the head area. in the territory of thinking. So feel that habit, because it will be there. And even let it be for a bit. Feel yourself drawing back up into your head center and the quality associated with thinking. And then knowingly, intentionally bring your attention right back down and take the elevator all the way down. With your tactile sense, you bring yourself back into the base. Dedicate that part of your body as the main shrine. And the breath is what ushers you into the shrine, into that sanctuary. And I really recommend making it a habit every day, as often as possible, even for a few seconds, to just bring your attention, your tactile attention down, down. And then you taste and then from there, maybe begin to feel the body as a mass of vibration. Take your time, because immediately the mind will come in to visualize the body, to remember the body, to describe the body to itself. And of course, the mind will create a limited body. And of course, a limited person to go with that body. And it's all very habitual. So again, take the elevator down, back to the feeling of the weight of your pelvis against the earth. The breath. And see that if you have no reference other than this moment by moment, tactile, vibrational experience, you have no idea where the borders are. Enjoy, begin to give yourself full permission to both live in and as a very substantial feeling, and yet let that feeling expand, become more refined. And become more like a vibration. Now feel the breath and follow the breath from the pelvis all the way up. Through the center of the body, all the way up to the throat. Exhale, the pathway gets reversed, the breath flows down from the throat, through the center of the body, down to the root of the pelvis. Slow, smooth, you can apply Ujjayi breath as gentle contraction at the back of your throat, as if you were caressing the breath as it flows. Courageous, and actually it is delicious to penetrate the body more with our tactile devotion. The thinking mind will want to discourse, this divide, create concepts. Don't let it come right back to the raw intensity. The wave of the in-breath ascending from the root to the throat. And the wave descending the exhale. Let the layers of resistance of density be touched by your devotion, by your intention, just to encounter without moving away. Saying hello to all the flutters and textures, temperatures, as if the music, and it is, was a symphony of sound. And as you follow the breath, you listen. To this music. And you let it resound out into the openness. It's just like music. Sound, music. Would not be without space. Same here with this body of vibration, of sensations. It's intimately connected with the openness that surrounds it. Let your breath be free now to marry the body as it pleases. Permeating the body freely with the in-breath, and then let the exhale flow free. Continue to allow it to be smooth and long and sort of effortless. And also, the breath permeates the openness. Perhaps you can feel that there isn't such a discrimination between so-called sensations and so-called space or openness. Perhaps you can begin to feel there's not such a difference between the sound of Ellen's voice and the sensation, say, of my shoulders or my belly. Don't begin to think about it, because immediately the mind will be taking out its tools, its scissors, its ruler, its cutting board, creating all sorts of fancy concepts and ideas. But no, we're going to stay in something more simple, beingness, tactile beingness. Just very, almost imperceptibly let your body move. Eyes are closed. Your bodies are sitting, I think, most of you. Just bring in very gentle movements, very slow. Make sure that you haven't interrupted the breathing. And then add the feeling that you're not doing the movement. The movement is unfolding. And then slowly, imperceptibly, let the movement resolve back into stillness. Very slow. Don't do it. Feel the body pouring itself back to stillness. And perhaps begin to feel that you are that stillness. You are that place, this place, that place, this place where the body and Ellen's voice and everything dissolves back into. Now let's explore more specific movements. Slowly let your head and your neck trace a circle. Very slow, but because we don't see and we don't remember, we don't use our thinking, so it's just a raw ripple. A ripple, and then there's the feeling of the base, my base in the pelvis. The breath. And the openness in which all of this ripples, ripples, rippling, rippling in me. Feel that this me is free of borders. The ripple free of borders. Yes, and now seamlessly the direction changes. And see how easy it is to become the mover again, the doer. And watch that, catch it. Love it. Kiss it. Set it free. Now the head comes back, the neck comes back. Don't do it, let it happen. Gently pull the top of the head a little bit towards the ceiling and lengthening the spinal cord. At the same time, feel that base unaffected. Your pelvis resting on the earth. Your breath in the belly, and at the same time, this root of the pelvis giving rise to a tree-like spine. Top of the head. You can't feel the top of the head, so let that be real. No border at the top. Now relax any effort in the body. Feel the whole body like a cloud. And empty it of any effort, any weight, anything that you can drop, just drop it without dropping the spine though. Spine is suspended. And I know because it's true of my body too that there's possibly unpleasantness or pain or discomfort, and don't move away necessarily, unless it's right to readjust your posture. Not necessarily move away from the difficulty. I would say move towards it more with your open palms, with your open heart, with a big bucket of space, and with no thought, no ideas about what should happen next. And now again, the movement. Let your body move. Because bodies like to move, especially when they sit still for a bit too long. So let your body, lead the way. Your spine, your head, your arms. Let your arms lift off your lap. Now begin to just let this body express its basic expression. And it might be just a very innocent need to stretch, like mine is needing to stretch. And wriggle and touch the air with the palms of the hands and feel the possibilities in your articulations, your shoulders, your wrists, and your breath. And just see what happens. In fact, let your body stand if it wants to stand. Trust a little quickening, lengthening, grasping, contracting, all the vocabulary of movement. There's absolutely no right or wrong here. You just let the body move and then you start to listen in. Listen in. Listen to the emotion of the body. Is this a happy body, a sad body, a bad body, a silly body, a tired body? Start there. A crazy body. Start with that raw emotion. That refers to the very ordinary person that we each are. Let that emotion, whatever it is, nobody's looking, let it become more deployed. And it might be that it's a bit crazy, chaotic, your face can become a river of movements too. I recommend standing to find your feet and your legs and your pelvis, to discover that there's a lot of space in this shrine, and the space is a space of freedom. It's a space that doesn't need to know what things are about. And at the same time, listen in sometimes deeply. Listen into the belly, to the heart area. You Pick a place, you go listen in deeply to find a current of movement that is a bit deeper, a bit more subtle, a bit more mysterious. And then you follow. And when I say all these words, they don't really mean much. They're not very correct, but it doesn't matter. And maybe you go listen to your hands. Deep penetrating of the hands. To listen to the movement, the gesture there that arises. It doesn't have to be pretty, right? Just reminding you, in this shrine, every guest is welcome. But feeling the movement in the hands, the fingertips, the sense of touch. Yes, and trusting when the lulls arise. Feel the call back to stillness and trust that. Let the body travel back to stillness. Be the stillness that absorbs the body. And now the body again in perfect stillness. Eyes are closed. Settling into the base. And yet, feeling there's not really a border. My eyes are closed. I just have my tactile sense. I just have the feeling of my heart. I don't really know a border to myself. Allow yourself the luxury of your true nature of borderlessness. It's safe, especially, it's always safe, but when we're together like this in the shrine, it's palpably safe to let go in all directions of a sense of a border. Which means there's nothing to do. We're not doing anything for a reason. Otherwise we need a border. If we're doing something for a reason, we need to be somebody that's located, that has a goal, an end point, an action is taken to reach that end point, etc. But when we lose our border, our borders, and I'm talking on a tactile level and a feeling level, we surrender, we sacrifice. The feeling of being a somebody that is located somewhere. We merge back with the ocean. And so the doer, the separate one, will linger on as an echo, like a ghost limb. You'll still feel the separate self right this moment as a ghost limb. You know, when you hear about people who have a leg amputated, and for many, many years after, they feel still the feeling of having that leg. It's a bit the same in these yoga sessions. We evoke our true nature, borderlessness, and we go there, we feel that, and yet we also feel the lingering echo of the separate self. And that's fine. It's not a failure of the yoga, it's a success of the yoga. It's a quiet, gentle place where we can get acquainted with what the separate self feels like on the level of sensation. Then make sure you come back to your spa, meaning the borderlessness of your true nature. And make sure you come back to the breath, which is the spa treatment from the absolute. So really, really indulge with the in-breath. Feel it comes straight out of the absolute, out of the invisible source. It permeates. Everything it touches with the source. And of course, the exhale shows us over and over again how there are no borders. And you can also really enjoy the pause at the bottom of the exhale without imposing the length. You just let it be. Make sure it's completely relaxed, the pause at the bottom and at the top. So there's the in-breath and the pause, and during the pause at the top of the breath, feel the breath dilates in all directions, spreads out, fills the space, then the exhale. And at the bottom of the exhale, nothing. Emptiness. And then the flow again, filling the cup. Long exhale. Nothing. Next in-breath, like a wave rising from the source. Pause. Let it spread out in all directions. Without the exhale, not exhaling yet, and then the exhale. Nothing. Make sure that little by little you purify the breath of the breather. No breather, just the breath. Nobody here. Just the openness and the wave. And the richness of the tactile experience. But no need to translate it into thoughts. It's too much work. You stay with the feeling, with the sensation. With creation. Directly with creation. And you can feel sometimes that when you've intentionally come down into the root of the body, into the pelvis, and listened to the breath and re-sacralized this shrine, this base of your presence. Sometimes the mind, the thinking mind, settles, becomes more peaceful. And sometimes you can feel that at the place where thinking usually happens, in the head area, in the top of the body, you can feel a new feeling, more, I don't know what the word is, open. Peaceful, available, as if your base, it's like a bit like a tree, the roots need to be established and then the tree can do its tree thing. And the top of the body can branch out. The mind, the pure mind. Empty mind, ready for inspiration. So maybe feel your head area, let the breath permeate that area, that place. So you're feeling rather than thinking. So if there's thinking, you come back to thinkingness, the feeling of thinking. And if there's too much activity, mental activity, you come right back down to your base. But don't do anything now, just being together, doing nothing, sharing our being. feeling our devotion to our shared being. And if that's not available, feeling our devotion to what is. Moment by moment. We'll take a 5-minute break and come back for conversation. Go gently. Thank you. So if anybody wants to ask anything or share anything, feel free. Just wave. Yes, Anne, go ahead. You can unmute yourself.
Hi.
Hi there.
Thank you. That was wonderful. It's wonderful to be here. My first time.
Are you Irish?
Yeah. I sure am. living in Galway. what it was when you were saying about moving the body and let the body move itself, I couldn't determine whether I was moving it or it was moving itself. And I was sort of getting,
I know. I understand. Don't worry about it. I mean, obviously, there's only one mover ultimately, you know, and whether you're feeling it's when I give that guidance, it's to try and develop an awareness of how in the conditional state we often feel ourselves to be the mover, the doer. And so when I suggest to feel movement free of a mover, funnily enough, the first thing we encounter is the habit of being a mover, and then the mind gets all twisted sometimes. So not to worry.
Okay. Yeah.
And you'll have moments where you'll feel that lovely feeling of just movement. And then suddenly there'll be another moment where you will feel the feeling of being a mover, and it's very organic and natural because, you know, there is an Anne who moves and an Ellen who moves and an Anne and an Ellen who have feelings and things to express through movement. So that moment too is valid. All moments, everything's valid. I mean, including the moment of separation, but you'll also maybe have little glimmers of that efforting, that moment where you're feeling separate and not at one with a flow of expression or movement, and again, that is very fine, but you can taste it, you can see what it's made of, you can begin to get acquainted with that habit of separation in the body, in movement.
Yeah.
Like now I'm talking and I was just seeing how, you know, I'm moving and I'm not, there's no problem, there's an Ellen moving, but it's a cosmic event, and there's an Anne listening, it's all an unfolding. But somehow at other moments I can be animated by a real belief that I'm a fragment, that I'm separate, that I'm isolated, that I'm abandoned, that nobody loves me, that I'm all those kinds of scenarios where we are fleshing out the belief in separation, and there's a movement that goes with it, a collapsing of the spine. And again, nothing is wrong here. It's all an exploration. And, you know, clearly this habit of separation is pervasive and deeply natural. It's something that's part of this play of creation. So anyway, a long-winded answer to say, just play.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. Thank you.
And just one more thing is that, especially in the moments of free movement, I need to learn to say less, really. I think if I say too much, it can be confusing. But in the moments where we're doing more prescribed movements, like, for example, we did some head and neck rolls, there you can really, because your eyes are closed, you don't have any visual of a head or a neck, you just have the sensation. And it there you can sort of start out as the mover, the doer, like I'm moving my head, but then feel there's a ripple of sensation arising in me. And you can there, it's easier when it's a very simple movement to purify it of the mover.
Yeah, no, that's good, because sometimes it felt like there was a tension or a resistance to it, like it was just,
yeah, but that's off. Perfect. So
yeah,
at that moment of tension or resistance, you have in your hands a layer of a tactile belief in separation, that moment of resistance. Of it, those are the gems of this yoga, because there you're touching something, and you don't need to figure it out or undo it or analyze it at all. You just really welcome that layer, because the fact that you feel it and then you say yes to it means that you're disidentifying yourself from it, and yet not rejecting it, not having any agenda with it. And well, my words fall short, but
yeah, no, that's great. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, with Thank pleasure. You. Yes, Anna.
Yeah, I first enjoy a lot your lightheartedness at the beginning when you felt that you felt silly. It really made me feel relaxed, and also that you place us in a place where you said, "I don't know what's coming." You know, I don't know what's coming, and that also gave me more trust. Not to feel that we have to perform or to be someone, but just let it flow. And then what it really touched me today is that I feel like I'm beginning to develop a real trust in your guidance and the gentleness by which you express yourself. It really allows me to relinquish. I feel like I'm safe, because you describe this space that everything is accepted. So that was kind of precious for me. That sense of, you know, I'm welcome. I'm accepted. There was this gentleness that really filled me. So thank you.
Well, Anna, you named the silliness and what did you say? The gentleness. Yeah. Twice you said, or three times, the gentleness, the silliness, the safety. And so, you know, those are very important qualities that are your qualities. They're qualities of our being, you know. And maybe your practice is to really evoke those qualities Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. I felt a little bit vulnerable to say it, but I couldn't help but feeling a sense of mothering. And it's not like I want to be mothered by anyone, but there was that sense of being mothered, but in a way that it was really welcome. So anyway, I really appreciate it.
I understand. And we can hear it in your voice, Anna, and it's very lovely. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yes, Vera.
Yes, love. Let me see, what's my question? I think I just done maybe three or four of your classes here, but there's something that is happening in my body that I never felt before. There's like loosening of layers, and it's very gentle, and a little bit like you're saying, Anna, there's the gentleness and the softness. And there's something happening to me that I want to just ask you. Like when I was today during the meditation, there was a moment that the common typical thing that looks like I'm falling asleep, but I can hear you and I'm pretty aware. And it's also happening when I'm walking and not thinking about anything. And then all of a sudden it feels like I go from one reality to another. You know, it's like, it's very interesting. So I was wondering if, just curious about if this it really feels like, you know, layers and the fascia and the layers on my body has been relaxing, that they were not accessible any other way.
It sounds good to me, Vera, and those moments where you sort of relax very deeply, you're still here, because awareness obviously doesn't fall asleep, but there's the mind that's relaxing. It's that sort of grip that we have, not sort of 24/7 to maintain the separate self. You have to keep, there's quite a lot that needs to keep on. It's all the switches that are on, and you know, in this approach, the switches get turned off under the radar. We don't realize it, but because it's so gentle, the message is sent in a gentle way, that everything is okay, and that everything is welcome. So that puts the separate self out of a job in a big way. But of course, it's not literal like that. It's much more layered, and it's layered. And that's what you're describing. And in fact, sometimes during the sessions, we feel more tension because the tension is allowed to surface, where usually we override it, we numb out, we distract. Sometimes during the yoga, it's more pain. There's something almost like we're thawing the body. It's coming to life, and then we're feeling more of those layers, more of what it takes to maintain a sense of me. So it can be uncomfortable, but generally it does pave the way for deep, subtle relaxation.
And with your guidance of coming back to the pelvis, it really felt like this pelvis holding me to.
I haven't done that before, but I feel it. It's actually this French teacher, so she hasn't yet been translated into English, but I hope she does. Her name is Nathalie Delay. If you ever, anybody speaks French, she's just written a book called La Voie du Réel, The Path of the Real. She was saying something about that, and it really sparked me. And then I took it in the meditation. But even though awareness, you know, how to put this, in a way, we are as awareness, we are not located. We don't have a shape. We don't have a form. We don't have a gender. So we don't have a pelvis, you know, we don't have a head. But I think as a wave in the ocean, as a shape, there is sort of an archetypal shape to this body, and it's not nothing, and it has a very deep intelligence. And as a sort of base, the body, the felt sense as a base to move into the felt sense of vibration and borderlessness, and that then is a sort of echo of our true nature.
And coming from that, you know, as you're talking, I can recall coming from that place of the pelvis, then the boundless, for some reason made it much easier for me to be able to feel that expansiveness to, you said, the tree that branches out, my branches could really.
It's like we have to anchor ourselves in our own presence. And
Beautiful. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Thank you, Vera. Yes, is that Carlo? Hi, Carlo. I haven't seen you there. Hi.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi, Carlo.
I have a little difficulty when...
Carlo has a question.
It's a sort of mechanical thing that when the breath is taken in, there's at the very top of taking the breath, I notice that my shoulders are higher, and it seems a bit tense. So
then
I relax them.
Yeah.
But then I find that I can't let the breath out without raising them again. I don't understand.
Yeah. No, but Carlo, that's really good. That's so you just keep exploring it. Just keep exploring it. Don't try to rectify it necessarily. I mean, you did. You take your in breath. You notice a little rising of the shoulders. So then you drop the shoulders. You're holding the breath, and then at the moment of releasing the breath, there's a little micro contraction, right? A little rising of the shoulders as you release the breath. Is that right?
It's as if I can't let the breath go. There's something about the tension that, you know, you hold the breath in.
Yeah.
And in order to let that go, I seem to have to lift my shoulders. Yeah.
Well, those are beautiful moments where you just have to totally be with that moment. It will iron itself out little by little, and it's really not that big a deal. Like, it's not like that little tiny superfluous movement is carrying a huge amount of ignorance, right? It's just a little, but it's a beautiful process for you to. I know that process. It's like sometimes when I do the neck circles, there's some creaks, and I just have to welcome them and slow down and be with them even more, rather than think, oh, I need to get rid of this little thing. I don't know how. No, just keep exploring that pathway, that transition between the holding of the breath and the releasing of the breath. Just, and you know, there is a body there that is doing something. So there is going to be something going on that you're going to feel, but still just keep exploring the possibility of something very seamless and something, and yet at the same time, don't impose it on the body. So it's all sorts of the thing, almost like opposing invitations, you know, do this, but don't do that. You know, do it, but don't do it. It's like, well, how do I do that? Well, just try.
And, okay, yeah, thank you.
And don't, it's certainly don't make your shoulders relax, because that would be doing more of the same. But at the same time, when you notice that, then you naturally you relax, the shoulders relax. But if you're like this and you go, I'm going to make my shoulders relax. No.
Oh, no, no, it wasn't like that.
No,
it
was, I know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
It's those are really beautiful little moments.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, Carlo. I think it's time for Corinne, who is back visiting us. We have great joy and honor of having our poetess in residence.
I have great joy and honor. It is so lovely to be here back. Oh my gosh. Oh, Ellen, that was, again, just so beautiful. And I really echo what Anna and Vera were saying about there is something about slipping down into, like you named it so precisely, slipping down into the pelvic region, really, that the spacious ground. And I don't know, I'm sure that I can't feel anything the same way twice, but there was just such space and stillness there. And it was, you know, you also said that perhaps we become more interested at a certain point in the space, you know, in the room, than in the guests, you know? And, you know, there's something about that welcoming, that something can dissolve, you know, we don't dissolve the guests, but but there is something that, you know, it reminded me of that. Well, I thought the well, you know, this still place of the well, and then David White's poem, The Well of Grief, came to mind. And what you were just, you know, the conversation you were just having with, is it Carlos? I see Femke on that.
Carlo,
but,
yeah.
Carlo, but, you know, those who will not slip beneath the still surface on the well of grief. And of course, it doesn't have to be grief, but, you know, blah, 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 then the ending won't, you know, sinking down through the dark water to the place where we cannot breathe, will never find in the darkness glimmering the small round coins thrown by those who wish for something else, you know? And isn't it just like something about welcoming? Even like you can go back a million layers in that, because even if there's a judgment about the, like, oh, is that real welcoming, Kareen, or, you know, well, just even welcoming that, you know, just like, just going back, like, so, but it's perfect because I love so much it, this poem, and, you know, the whole thing about curiosity, you know, rather than always curious about the guests, and it's true, we never know who's going to come, and I love that poem so much. It's so true, the guest house, you know, but curious about the room, you know, about the space. Mm. And so, you know, this poem, it's all from David White too. It's called Pilgrim. And okay, Pilgrim. I bow to the lark and its tiny lifted silhouette, fluttering before infinity. I promise myself to the mountain and to the foundation from which my future comes. I make my vow to the stream flowing beneath and to the water falling toward all thirst. And I pledge myself to the sea to which it goes and to the mercy of my disappearance. And though I may be left alone or abandoned by the unyielding present or orphaned in some far unspoken place, I will speak with a voice of loyalty and faith to the far shore where everything turns to arrival, if only in the sound of falling waves. And I will listen with sincere and attentive eyes and ears for a final invitation, so that I can be that note half heard in the flying lark song. Hmm. Or that tint on a far mountain brushed with the subtle gray of dawn. Even a river gone by, still looking as if it hasn't. Or an ocean, heard only as the sound of waves falling and falling and falling. My eyes closing with them into some undeserved nothing, even as they give up their strength on the sand.
Beautiful. Really beautiful.
Just exactly.
I didn't know that one. Is it a recent one?
I don't think so. I couldn't find it anywhere else. I looked. I don't even know how it came to me. I mean, how it not came to me. You know, like the other day, it must have been in an email or something. But then I looked in his books and I couldn't see it. You know what? I think there is a book called Pilgrim.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. I imagine that's where that's from. Since it's called Pilgrim.
It's beautiful. Awesome.
Oh, isn't it? So I'll send it. And I just read for the first time, there's a little time, yeah, this poem from Mary Oliver, and I loved it. It's called The Vulture's Wings. The vulture's wings are black. Wait. The vulture's wings are black death color, but the underwings as, okay, sorry guys, wait. The vulture's wings. The vulture's wings are black death color, but the underwings, as sunlight flushes into the feathers, are bright and swamped, are swamped with light. just something explainable by the sun's angle. Yet I keep looking, I keep wondering, standing so far below these high floating birds. Could this, as most things do, be offering something for us to think about seriously? You know, just the thing about vultures, like, they have such a bad rap, but do you see, like, sometimes we see them in the sky and I think, I always ask Jim, what is that bird? They're so beautiful. And he says, they're turkey vultures, Corinne. I'm like, that name is not fit though. they're beautiful, you know?
Yeah, they are.
So anyway, yeah, the vultures.
Thank you. Well, I was just realizing, because Mary Oliver, she paid such attention, right? She just was such a payer of attention. And I feel like today, in going to the pelvis, you know, like if Mary Oliver had come with us, boy, if she could dwell in the pelvis, she would be writing amazing.
Oh,
it's that capacity to bring attention.
Yes.
Without knowing, without agenda, without anyway.
Yes, yes.
Thank you, Coco.
Thank you.
We have a few minutes, and I think I saw somebody had raised her hand, but she may not be here anymore. Anyway, I just wanted to. No. Oh, was it you, Tana, that raised your hand? No, it's okay. Well, after Corinne's poems, you don't want to say anything? Okay. All right. Who's talking? Somebody's talking. Thank you, Corinne, so much for your
talking, but I don't know if my connection.
Is that you, Amna? Okay, well, it doesn't matter. We have to end anyway in a few minutes, but everybody's gone very quiet. Can you hear me, guys? You can't hear me? You can hear me, but you can't hear Amna. Okay. Why don't we all unmute ourselves and say goodbye, and Amna, you can bring a question next time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye. Good care. Much love. Yes. Much love.
Yes. Thank you all.
So long.
So long.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Ben.
Bye.
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 Bye,
Anna.
Bye, Sandra.
Bye,
Ted.
Bye. Bye, Ted. You're welcome.